Well, if you were going to set out to write a best-selling book, you probably wouldn't choose to write on the subject of depression. But in 1965, D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, the pastor of Westminster Chapel in London, published a book entitled Spiritual Depression, Its Cause and Cure, which became one of the most popular and widely circulated books he ever wrote. And the question is why? Well, the only conceivable reason that I can come up with that it was so popular is not that the subject itself is so attractive, but that so many people, including Christians, are depressed and are looking for solutions. It was required reading in my seminary training. I'm not sure what they were anticipating there. A little of both, I believe. I find it interesting we get and publish in our annual meeting a summary of the traffic we've had on sermon audio. And I think one of the top message that has been downloaded on sermon audio that's been preached from the Beacon pulpit is a message Pastor Barkman preached on swallowing life's bitter pills. And I think in the top five is a message I preached in 1998 on spiritual depression. And I think the reason for the interest there is because of the subject. Many people struggle in this area and are looking for help. You can go to Sermon Audio and do a Google search and put in a word search, depression, and boom, you're directed here. So, and I think it's that same reason that Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 are psalms that born-again believers frequently turn to for help. You see that Psalm 43 is separated from Psalm 42, but I can't give you the reasons why they're separated. I can only give you some reasons why I think, and many think, that they ought to be seen as together. And there are three reasons for that. Number one, in many of the Hebrew manuscripts, the two psalms are seen together without a separation. Number two, this is the first, Psalm 42 is the first psalm in book two. There are five books that make up the Psalter, and this is the first psalm in book two is Psalm 42, and there is an introduction there. To the chief musician, a contemplation of the sons of Korah. When you turn to Psalm 43, there is no such introduction. In fact, it is the only psalm in book two, apart from Psalm 71, that doesn't have an introduction. There's two reasons, but I think the most compelling reason is the recurring refrain that you see in Psalm 43, verse 5, that is mentioned twice in Psalm 42. You see it in Psalm 42, verse 5, and you see it also in verse 11, and then you see it in verse 5 of Psalm 43, and it is this. The psalmist is asking, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me?" Hope in God. Hope in God. So when we come to Psalm 43, and everybody relax, I prepared this message knowing that Mary Ann would probably take 20 minutes, which she did, and I'm glad she did. We needed to hear that. So my purpose is to be done by 7:15. And I'm glad that this is basically a continuation from Psalm 42. The difficulties, the circumstances that put the psalmist in this state of inner turmoil has not subsided. It hasn't come to an end when you come to 42. It continues on into Psalm 43. The storm has not lifted, and it just continues. And therefore, the psalmist is continuing to seek God in prayer. He says, Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. There are two causes here that have furthered his turmoil. One is a sense of injustice that is going on a national level. And again, we can make some guesses as to what's going on, but he has been displaced from Jerusalem. He's longing for the days to be in the temple and worshiping God, and he's been displaced. So there's a threat to the nation that is underlying the concern that he raises. Plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. So it's a national issue, and then it is a personal issue. There's someone who is causing turmoil for the psalmist. And I think we can all relate to that. When discouragement comes our way, the blues come our way, times of depression come our way, it's usually related to personal conflict with somebody. Not always, but often is at the heart of it. Now, I want to focus on two things. Because the question is raised three times in the two Psalms, twice in Psalm 42, verse 5 and 11, and again here in verse 5 of Psalm 43. Why? He's asking, why are you cast down, O my soul? He's talking to himself. And that's not a bad thing to do. It's good to talk to ourselves and to make inquiry. And when we're standing perhaps in the mirror looking at that person staring back at us, it's not the flesh and bones that we're talking to. We're talking to the inner man. We're talking to the soul. We're talking to the spirit of ourselves. And he's asking why. He keeps coming back to the same question. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Why my soul? He's continuing to ask. And I want to suggest a couple of reasons for asking that why question. One explanation here is the why of explanation. He's being honest with his situation. There's inner turmoil. He's distraught. He's feeling separated from God. His fellowship's being disrupted. And he's asking the question of explanation, what is the cause of this? What's behind this? Why am I feeling the way I'm feeling? And that's a good reason to be asking the question. You see, we can ask that why question in a lot of ways and convey an awful lot of meanings. Simply by changing our tone, he's asking himself this question. So he's looking for an explanation. He's looking for cause. Why? And if you remember last Sunday morning, we looked at some causes that are clearly given to us in Psalm 42. He's longing for corporate worship. He hasn't been with the people of God. He hasn't been to the temple to worship, and he's longing for that. And how, when people are displaced from corporate worship because of illness and whatever other reason, there's opportunity there for depression, for despondency, for longing, and a sense of an absence of God's presence to manifest itself. So that was one of the reasons. A hostile environment was another reason. There were enemies about. There were those who were ridiculing him. There were those who were taunting him. And as we turn here to Psalm 43, it's Now on a national level, there is a man, and he has in his thoughts, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. And he's missing the days when he wasn't just a spectator in worship, but he was one who led people in worship. He had a position that God had given to him, and he is no longer doing that, or he isn't in the circumstances in Psalm 42, so he's missing that. There is the unrelenting struggles of life that he makes mention of there in verse 7. Deep calls unto deep, at the noise of your waterfalls, all your waves and billows have gone over me. And it's a word picture of a man who is clinging to a piece of driftwood in a storm, and he's struggling to get his breath, and he just gets his breath and another wave hits him. And it's a picture of just unrelenting trial and difficulty. No relief. So those are some of the reasons. But there's also another question. There is the question, what I want to say, of honest confrontation. A question of honest confrontation. When you say, well, who's he confronting? Well, let me ask you, who is he talking to? He's talking to himself. And he is having an honest confrontation with himself. And I picked this up from reading from Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. And listen to what he has to say here. This is from his book on spiritual depression. He says this. You have to take yourself in hand. You have to address yourself, preach to yourself, question yourself. You must say to your soul, why art thou cast down? And then this, what business have you to be disquieted? This is a question of honest confrontation. What business have you to be disquieted? You must turn on yourself, upbraid yourself, condemn yourself, exhort yourself, and say to yourself, hope thou in God, instead of muttering in this depressed, unhappy way. A question of honest confrontation. And what I think he's driving at is, listen, you may have reasons to be discouraged, but you have greater reasons to be encouraged. Confront yourself. Talk to yourself. As he said, what business have you to be disquieted? As a child of God, on my way to heaven, justified by God, my sins are forgiven, blessed with the presence of God, the fellowship of, what reason do I have to be disquieted? Oh, blessed God, how kind are all your ways to me. What business do I have to be disquieted? I like sayings that you can hang on to, that grab a truth, and here's one. You are, as a Christian, I am, as a Christian, too blessed to be depressed. All right? We're too blessed to be depressed. And we have to talk to ourselves and say, now, wait a minute. You are focusing on the wrong thing. You're focusing on the things that are not right. Focus on the things that are right. You are in right relationship with God. Your sins are forgiven. You're on your way to heaven. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God did that for you. And He did so many other things for you. And as He says, what business have you to be disquieted? Martin Lloyd-Jones says, a question of honest confrontation. You of all people, so blessed of God, you have no business being stuck in this place. Now, what I like about the Psalms of Lament is their honesty. They meet us where we're at in life. We've been commanded to love God, and to love God with our whole being, with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, all your strength. And we rightly focus a lot on loving God with our minds, but love God with all of our heart. Our heart is the control center of who we are. It's our will, it's our emotion, it's who we are. And we're to love God with that part of our being as well, our emotions. We're not to suppress our emotions. We're to be honest with our emotions, but we're not to be caught in a cul-de-sac with our emotions. You know what I mean with a cul-de-sac? Where you just keep going round and round and go nowhere. We're not to complain for just the sake of complaining. Lament is supposed to take us somewhere. It's supposed to, it's given by God to help us process our emotions and to deepen our relationship with Him. I think the psalmist is basically saying this when he asks the question, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" Why? He's wondering how he could be so emotionally distraught if God was so great. Since God is so big, my problems are so small in comparison. That's true, folks. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? What's his remedy? What's the Bible's answer for depression, despondency, inner turmoil? What is it? It's simple. Some people stumble over the simplicity of it. Some say, well, wait a minute, I've tried that. That doesn't work. You better be careful with that. Here it is. What's he say? What's the inspired text say? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. Hope in God. Really? That's it? When a believer finds himself in difficult times, this is the biblical solution. This is the scriptural solution. And listen, it's always the same. It's always the same. Hope in God. This is the counsel of Scripture. Now again, that may sound too simplistic. But regardless of how simplistic it may sound, that is heaven's solution. Don't go looking for something else. Hope in God. I remember talking to somebody for a long, long time, repeated counseling sessions. And they were getting frustrated. I was getting frustrated. And their frustration was, you've got to have more in your toolbox than what you're telling me. Come on. Give me the goods. Help me here. And I kept coming back to the simplicity. Hoping in God, trusting in God, finding answers in the Word of God. Everything we need for life and godliness is contained in the Word of God. And I don't know, after the 8th or 10th session, I was ready to throw in the towel. And I'm glad I didn't give up, because the light bulb came on. And when the light bulb came on, they were embarrassed that they had frustrated me, had prolonged their agony. It dawned on them. That's it. I said, what's it? God's the only hope I got. I said, well, I'm glad you finally got it. I've been trying to say that in as many possible ways as a creative man could possibly say it. We're going to get some help here in a minute. And I'll get to that in a minute. You're just going to explain why sometimes that can be so difficult. Remember what we're talking about here. Lament. What is lament? Lament, there are 30 of them in the Psalter. We're not going to look at all of them. This is our fifth sermon in this series. But lament is our song for our journey in a broken world as we hope in God for the fulfillment of all the promises that He's made to us in the gospel. There are a lot of those promises that are yet to be enjoyed. But we're hoping in God. We're trusting Him with today and the future. Now you remember, we've noted four elements in the laments. I won't say it's in every single one, but it is a predominant feature of the laments. There are four elements, and we see it here in Psalm 43. There is a turning to God, taking your difficulty, your depression, your despondency, your turmoil, and taking it to God. Praying, seeking God in prayer. And that's what he's doing here. He's talking to God. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an unholy nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. That's the first. And usually what's followed then is a complaint that's registered. Sometimes these two elements are together. But it's there in verse 2 that he's asking the question. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? There's his complaint. So as a turning to God, there is a complaint. And then there is a pivoting. There is moving away from the complaint to asking something of God in prayer that's consistent with who God has revealed himself to be and what we hope will address our difficulty. And that's what we see in verse 3. Notice his specific request. Oh, send out your light and your truth. And then there's some things that go on beyond that, but let's stop and just think about what he's asking. Oh, send out your light and your truth. Folks, that's what we need. Two requests, two specific things in that request. He's asking God for light and truth. Now, how do those two things go together? He wants the Lord to give him truth, his word, and light, an understanding of it. You see, having the word with no understanding of it isn't going to help you. Those things come together. I've heard someone say, it's okay to say it this way, but I think there's a correction that needs to be made. You've heard people say, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Okay. What if you remove that second statement from the equation? Is it still true? God said it, that settles it. That's it. God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or you don't. Now, you'll be blessed if you believe it, but it doesn't change anything if you don't. God said it, that settles it. Correct? Amen. Amen. Send out your light and your truth. The entrance of thy word giveth what? Light. That's what we need. We need illumination. We need light to understand what God is doing. I love what it says there in Luke about the two men on the road to Emmaus. Did not our hearts burn within us when he, what? Illuminated our minds that we might understand the scriptures. We'll never understand the scriptures unless God gives light, helps us to understand. And that's something we should never, ever diminish, nor take for granted. I think back on my life and how easily my life could have got. My father employed a man who was a Jehovah's Witness. I was as lost as I could possibly be. Dan was a good man. He was a moral man. He was a man of integrity. And I remember as a young teenage boy, 16, 17 years old, working in the garage, looking back how Dan was trying to influence me for the Jehovah's Witnesses. Gave me a copy of the Watchtower and this and that. And I began to read it and how vulnerable I was. And I read a little bit. I'd ask him some questions and it didn't make any sense. I just dismissed it all. That was of the Lord, by the way, that he caused me to dismiss it all. Because I had two women at my door last Sunday afternoon who had bought it all, hook, line, and sinker. Interesting conversation with them. So, what does he say here? Oh, send out your light and your truth. Folks, that's what we need more than anything. We need the truth of God's Word, and we need the enablement of the Spirit of God to understand it. That's what we all need. That's what this world needs. But just not, that's just not an end in of itself. Listen to what his goal is, his desire. Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them, what? God's truth, let them lead me. Lead me where? Let them bring me to your holy hill. The truth of God's word is given by God to lead us in holiness. It's to lead us to him. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my exceeding joy, and on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. He had a desire to worship God, but you can't worship God void of truth. It's theology, it's rightly understanding the Word of God that fuels doxology. I hear a lot of music today, so-called worship music, that is erroneous, that's not grounded in Scripture, and I'm thinking, how much better that would be if it was communicating right truth about God. It's just a bunch of noise. But this is God's design. His word to inform our minds, to direct us in this life, to direct us in holiness and a life that honors him, and to, it's the most natural thing in the world to do. When you've been with God, you've been in the Word of God, you've been praying, the Lord's Day is an anticipation. We look forward to gathering with the people of God. What? So we can talk about the weather and the sports? No! So that we can join our hearts in worship. It's what we've been made for, created for. And if you doubt that, That's what you're going to be doing for all eternity. That's what God's created us for. So don't miss where all this goes. There he was, in his despondency, inner turmoil. And where is it taking him? It's taking him on a pursuit of God. He's not going to be satisfied until he's worshiping God. So remember those elements that I told you, a turning to God in prayer, a complaint that is articulated, then there is a specific request, and then there is a statement of renewed trust or a declaration of praise. And what do we see here? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for what? I shall yet praise Him. A renewed statement of praise to God. I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. I hope that when you're encountering the lament psalms, that you'll remember those four elements. Because if you'll remember those, they'll walk you through the psalm. You'll be able to take it apart and understand it and see the movement in it. We don't have the time. We could go back and do the same thing in Psalm 42. Well, let's pray. Father, we bow to thank you for your word. We thank you for its instruction. We thank you that it's worthy of our contemplation. And we thank you that you're a God who meets your people where we're at. Meet us in our sometimes emotional distress, and you don't leave us there. We find instruction. We find help here as the psalmist wrestled with life and its difficulties and its perplexities. And he found his way as you directed him through the word of God and illuminated his mind. You led him away out of the despair he was in and took him to the high mountain of praise and worship. Lord, do that for us. Fix our minds on him who loved us and gave himself for us, I pray in Christ's name. Amen.